It's a stark reminder from Jesus in the scriptures this morning about the proper orientation, the proper direction of our life. And what he says, eat, rest, eat, drink, and be merry. If we weren't sitting inside this church, if we were on the back porch or at a restaurant somewhere and we were discussing what is a sign of a good life, and maybe like what is our goal, I think many of us would say these things would be an indication that we've done good, we've done well, that we're living a good life, that we can rest, that we can eat, we can drink, and that we have the opportunity to be merry. Oftentimes, we put these as the goal of our life, and sadly, for many people in our world, this is the ultimate goal, to rest, eat, drink, and be merry. But Jesus' kind of harsh words, you fool. All these things that you have, what's going to happen to them? To whom will they go? And so this is why we can look at what St. Paul says today. His letter to the Colossians that we've been hearing from the past few weeks. This letter that he's seemingly writing to a community that has lost their way, has forgotten the initial message. He's calling them back to live the fullness of the practice of the faith. Last week he spoke so beautifully of baptism, and he continues that theme today. That sacrament of baptism, that moment in our life where everything changes, where we who are dead in our sin has the true life poured into us. Literally, the water poured over our head as a sign of God's love, God's life being poured into us. And today he says, if this is true, if this has happened to you, if you went into the waters and you died with Jesus and you were raised to new life, do not seek the things of this world, but seek the things of heaven. Don't have your goal to rest, eat, drink, and be merry. Those things are passing. Jesus says, you may have possessions. Okay, so what? But do you have the things that matter to God? Do we know the things that matter to God? Grandparents, parents, have we trained our children in the things that matter to God? Or have we put first to eat, rest, drink, and be merry? The signs of prominence, the signs of success that the world gives us. Have we decided to be a radical disciple for Jesus Christ? Or is that something that comes later or as a secondary thing? Is Christ our only thing? That's what Ecclesiastes in the first reading is saying. Everything, vanity of vanities, the most vain. You know, in the Hebrew language, they don't have the superlative. They can't say the vainest. So it's vanity of vanities. But it's the most vain thing you can think of are the things of this world. And that word vanity, as he's using, it's like mist, the morning dew, like bubbles. They appear and they disappear, leaving no trace with no significance. And that's what the devil wants us to focus on. That's what the enemy of our soul wants us to have as our goal, are these passing pleasures that amount to nothing, but corrupt our soul. That list of sins, of vices that St. Paul talks about in this short passage. And if you go to the text, we skipped a few verses. Go back and read of all the things that he warns us against, all the things that come in, that creep in and corrupt our lives, when we stop looking for the things of heaven and we settle for the things of this world. Life does not consist of many possessions, Jesus says. So why do we seek to gain so much stuff? Whether it's physical things, money, houses, or it's prominence at our job with titles and promotions and bigger offices, or a larger following in our social media, or to be thought well of by our classmates and our peers, to want to have a long list of degrees and awards at the end of the school year, to have our name on a wall somewhere. Why do we seek these things? Why do we allow these things to become our God, our idols? And when Jesus and St. Paul is warning against greed, St. Paul says that the greed that is idolatry, the worship of idols, the worship of these things that are not God, and to greed, that sin, that vice of greed, that insatiable desire for more, the reason why it manifests itself in our life with all these physical things is because you're made with an insatiable desire for Jesus Christ and the things of heaven. So it's not bad that you have this desire, but you just need to have your life ordered properly. To die to the things of this world is what St. Paul said. Mortification. That's what that word means. And as a good Catholic, as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, mortifications should be part of your daily life. This thing in my life is good, but I don't need it. This thing in my life I really need, but I'm going to do without today. I'm going to die to the things that I think are important and necessary in my life so that Jesus can be first. This is what it means to not be a fool, to be wise, to have the mind of God. St. Paul says that elsewhere, to put on the mind of God, to think like he thinks, to see like he sees, to love like he loves. And this is the goal of the life of a Catholic, of a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. So as we listen to these words today, it's a good point of examination. Have I forgotten who I am? Have I forgotten my identity as a beloved son and daughter of God the Father, who has been rescued from the chains of sin and death through the waters of baptism? And I have been elevated. I have been raised to the new life in Christ. Have I forgotten this? Do I want this? For those of us in the state of grace, as we receive the Holy Eucharist today, we are receiving Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, life. So St. Paul says, at the end, life himself will appear. Well, life himself is here, and we get to receive him. If we live our life well, if we truly put to death the old man, the old self, and put on the new man, and allow the grace of Jesus Christ and a life of virtue and mortification to truly elevate our souls so that we can live that life now, we don't need a fear hearing that word, you fool. Because when Christ appears again, when life appears, you too will appear with him in glory.